Let's pray. We love the word of life, O Lord, thy word, the word that tells of peace, of comfort in the strife, and the joys that never cease. Lord, we pray that please open our eyes by thy grace and the whole anointing of your Holy Spirit be our portion, that we might draw thy wondrous truths out of thy law. Humble ourselves before thee, O Lord, that we will be teachable tonight, and the words of truth that you have allowed the Apostle Paul to encourage the churches that he planted in Europe and the rest of the world affected us, and we are beneficiaries of his good work and faithful work of spreading the gospel. Bless us now, Lord, with the awareness that we need thee every hour. Oh, every hour we need thee, O Lord. And please cover me with your precious blood, and please bring me at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we hear you speak again, not my voice, O Lord, but thy voice. For thy word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you turn with me on Ephesians chapter 1, we will look verses 1 to 6, but I will only be able to dwell on verse 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. So, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. But I will only dwell on verses 1 and 2, because there's a lot of truths from the rest, from all the rest of the verses.
Can you hear all right, Sister Lorna?
Maybe we have to increase the volume.
They won't make a difference.
How do you hear very clearly?
If you just need to speak it, just speak it okay, more speak clearly if you would, okay. If you can. If you could you just, all you need to do is just, yes, that's true. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's.
Right, it's done.
Okay. Now, reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 1 to 6. Commencing on verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Now you'll notice in verse 1, as I promised to you, we'll just look on verse 1 and 2. Paul did not call himself on his own merits as an apostle, but he is an apostle by the will of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now notice that the word apostle in this verse and in verse 2, the peace And the word peace and saints in verse 1 are the words that we're going to look at. Now, first of all, the word apostle is mentioned for information from Luke to the book of Acts. It's mentioned 34 times. From the epistle of the Apostle Paul, it is mentioned 34 times as well. And the rest appeared in the book of Revelation. That's very interesting, because for the general application of the word in our, not only during that time but during our time, and the word apostle actually refers to an envoy, a messenger or ambassador commissioned to represent the governing or the government who is commissioning that envoy or ambassador or messenger. And in God's plan, an apostle cannot be called himself an apostle unless, including the original 12, he witnessed the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. No one can claim except he possessed those qualifications. He had witnessed the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the 12 are the original one, an apostle. Paul is an apostle because he was commissioned by our Lord Jesus Christ. As you can see in the book of Acts chapter 9, he was called to be a preacher. And so, an apostle is one who is an ambassador for God in Christ. And he should have witnessed the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he commissioned him to preach the gospel to all nations. So, in the modern days, no one can claim that, because no one in our modern days have experienced the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then, the word saints in verse 1 as well, to the saints who are in Ephesus and people in Jesus Christ. Well, many, even during my days in the seminary, when they expound Ephesians, Paul actually never see the Ephesian church. He was imprisoned in Rome. But he heard the good report, how faithful, how genuine are the faith of the saints in Ephesus through Timothy, who pastored the church, and a fellow messenger that brought this copy that intended to be read in Laodicea. And the remaining copy that Tychicus brought is a copy for the Ephesians. So he never actually saw this. And yet, the Ephesian Christians are so dear in his heart that he continually to pray for them. Look at this prayer. I do not cease for you in verse 16. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And in verse 18, look at the concern of his prayer, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's a big encouragement for Paul to encourage this church without even seeing the congregation, and yet he knows what's going on about this work of grace in the life of the believers, of the saints, through Timothy and Tychicus. And you will see later how his fellow workers, the co-laborers, encourage those two ladies who are misunderstanding and who are fellow workers in the Lord. And he asked his fellow workers to reconcile these two ladies, Eudias and Syntyche. I don't know. We don't know the misunderstanding, but there is a misunderstanding there with Sid and Paul because they are fellow workers in the gospel. So it was a concern for Paul. Now, these keywords, which I have explained in about the apostle, the rest is the word saint and faithful. The saints, of course, they are and the faithful designated that they are the ones whom God set apart from sin to himself, made holy through their faith in Jesus Christ. So the saints are the sanctified ones, being set apart for the purposes of their usefulness in the kingdom of God. So you are called saints. Each one of us are called saints according to the glorious grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ and his calling to each one of us. And exploring these words, saints and faithful, it gives the main focus of this letter, of this verse, is that while they are prominent, the word saint and faithful are prominent, and the apostle, is that God, in his message to this book, is interested not in our popularity, not in our good works, but he's interested in our faithfulness, how Paul remained faithful, as we can see later in the preaching of the gospel. Our faithfulness is being called forth as the word saint and faithful are mentioned in verse 1 and 2. God is interested in everyone's faithfulness, including Paul, than our accomplishments. To explore that, let me give an illustration of our present day. We all know that even during the Apostle Paul time, at the present time, our society is success-oriented. In other words, if you're not accomplish a lot that the world embrace, you won't get attention. You're nothing to the world. Yes? That is in the eyes of the world. We are a society. Wherever, what country we belong, we are success-oriented. We love success stories. Have you heard that? Have you seen that TV program, This Is Your Life? I don't know if it's still on, but I have seen it 3 times in my lifetime. And they normally pictures people who are self-made in many ways. They started low. They became, through hard work, somebody. And well documented in everyday newspaper, perhaps, or some points of their lives have been documented. That's why that TV program, all they have accomplished are listed there. Self-made man. Are you a self-made man? Sometimes perhaps we can claim that silently in our lives. We even have television program, that's the word, that exalt the lifestyle of these rich people who are self-made, man. Not necessarily rich, but they became rich because of their hard work and they became famous. But God's standard for success is quite different from the world as they see success. God, being unimpressed by our status or wealth, he looks instead for every Christian faithfulness to his plan and purpose and will for our individual lives. He looked into that character, and that's what Paul is trying to convey and tell us about the faithfulness of the Ephesians Christians, that Timothy pastored. And Paul was aware of this because of the news that Timothy conveyed to him through letters. So Paul understood that principle and diligently pursued his calling as an apostle, one of those unique men who were foundational. In other words, they were used by God to build his churches, and who were recipients and teachers and writers of the New Testament, who wrote the revelation of God directly from our Lord Jesus Christ. That was a high calling that Paul assumed and received from God, from our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, judging from Paul's lifestyle, listen to this, most people would hardly call him successful. Why? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 27, he suffered imprisonment, beatings, death, death threats, shipwrecks, robberies, hatred from his theological enemies, the false teachers and philosophers that he encountered along the way, the sleepless nights and hunger and thirst and exposure to different elements of the trying moments of his life. But none of these things actually stopped or deterred Paul from obeying God's call and God's will. His final testimony, as you well know, documented in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." That is how true success is defined in the life of Paul. This is a testimony. And for encouragement, this is what the word faithful, Paul wants to inculcate and reinforce to them, that he was encouraged to pray for them day by day in his prayer room in that prison in Rome. Is this our goal? To be heard of when the Lord will take us into glory? "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." Although, like the Apostle Paul, we are not apostles today, we are to follow the example of the great Apostle Paul's faithfulness, which is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 1. If you quickly go to that and see for us the great example, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, it says, look at this, "No one can say this with utmost confidence unless we are beset by our sin. But look at Paul, "Imitate me, just I also imitate Christ." So that is the life of Paul. He encouraged others what God enabled him to accomplish as a faithful witness of the gospel. So is that impossible to achieve? Well, the Bible records that that's possible because, like the Ephesian believers, we are saints in verse 1, the holy ones, continually being separated to become holy and holy until they see the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. We are not only saved by grace through faith, but we are being turned and conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us remember that. Saints who are faithful in Jesus Christ, according to our reading. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. That is what Paul is praying about and praising the good reports about this faithfulness of the some, maybe not we all, but maybe a lot of them are faithful. But God, Paul is rejoicing in the presence of God. That's why he's praying for them Now, following the example of Apostle Paul, I think that should be an encouragement for us to pray for one another, as we are doing in our prayer time. By God's grace, we have trusted in Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. In Ephesians 2:8-9, we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. And we have received His righteousness as well, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And also, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, we receive it by grace through faith. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And every spiritual resources necessary for faithful and victorious Christian living, which is stipulated to us or recorded to us in verse 3 of our reading. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The spiritual blessings is our great inheritance in Christ, and we should draw strength from them. Even though we don't understand how we go through in life, we must continue to draw strength from this great inheritance, which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, we need these spiritual blessings that is necessary for faithful and victorious Christian living. So, what remains by now is to cultivate a greater love, not just love that we are reminded when we hear the gospel, when we hear the word being preached, but it must be an ongoing awareness of our need to have a greater love for our Lord Jesus Christ, because He loved us despite of our wicked sins as an enemy of God before He became a Christian. He loved us even by allowing Himself to absorb the pain and the penalty for dying for our sins, so that we will not be isolated forever, will not be punished from the wrath of God. And yet, He took that punishment for our behalf. That's why His love for us is so great that we cannot even put it in one word. And we must pray that our love for Christ will show in our love for each other, particularly those unlovable people that we met, of course, along the way. And we must actually pray that we can love those who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ and persistently harden their hearts. That is the kind of love that the Apostle Paul have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make it our goal in our life today, because it warrants the Lord's commendation, which is in Matthew 25, verse 10 to 1. Well done, good and faithful servant. Now, that should actually open our eyes. Or when we are going to be taken up to glory, is that the announcement, is that the pronouncement of our Lord to us? Well done, good and faithful servant. This is a great eye-opener for each one of us who try to serve our Lord in any significant or small manner of serving Him. Praise God for His wonderful grace by which He granted each one of us salvation and all the spiritual resources that we need that Paul enumerated there in verse 3. Let's thank Him for His word as well, the word of life that we meditate day and night. this word through which we learn the principles of godly and holy, righteous life. We cannot do this on our own strength and our own desire. Let us ask God for opportunities to grant us the grace to live these characteristics, faithful saints of Christ. Let's pray that these opportunities is facing us as a church in our fellowship with one another to encourage faithfulness in others. Paul is a good example of this. That's why every church needs encouragement, not only the leaders of the church, but even those members of the church can encourage their leaders who are facing a lot of trials and difficulties and pain in doing the ministry that God has called them to do. That's why Paul was encouraged to the Ephesians. He is praying for them because their faithfulness to Christ in living the gospel and sharing the gospel to others who are lost is very evident in their lives. The Apostle Paul prays that the Ephesians, Christians, may experience the unfailing grace and dynamic peace of God, which is able to sustain them in the turmoil and tension of day-by-day living. Talking about peace in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to share to you a bit more, a bit about this peace. The historical points that we can gather in the history of generation after generation of every human being. Every man wants peace. And in fact, the powerful nations of this world are willing to spend billions of pounds and dollars and euros to actually experience this peace with other nations. Look at the unnecessary spending of building submarines, nuclear submarines, to defend themselves. And China is actually building a lot more, spending more of their GDP, gross national product, in military and as well, in America as well. But do they have peace? And Russia as well. Britain as well. But in peaceful time, they are being threatened by the more aggressive ones. They don't have peace. They are being threatened by the push button that this aggressor will actually push to the destruction of the other. So let's continue to pray for peace. That the peace that any man should look after is not at the expense of building missiles to destroy the world, but we are at the brink day by day of destroying this world. And in fact, if our leaders are not careful, we'll experience the end of the world in our lifetime. But God is so gracious that He doesn't allow these things to happen. You will come at the appointed time. Yet lasting peace still remains an elusive dream and very expensive. Even during the times of relative peace that we enjoy at this moment, nations, all nations, particularly the richest countries, the G7 or G8, struggle with internal strife and crime. Look at the day-by-day news of killing through small guns that want to take the law into their own hands. There's no fear of the police. There's no fear of the authority. And where does this come from? It emanates from a simple heart. Simple heart that is continually hardening their hearts and not listening to the offer of peace after being forgiven and washed away of their sins to the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you are sitting here today without knowing the real peace in your heart, there is only one way to know that peace, and that is to confess that you're a sinner before God that needs to be washed by His precious blood, and trust Him and surrender your all to Him. So it's a sad thing that even in our modern days, our nation, our leaders struggle to bring this peace, but they don't have the means to bring it. And they know that it's costly. Look, we need maybe thousands of police in our street. They only invest a little bit. Well, I gather that there is only 100 that was added a couple of weeks ago. Only 100. But there are a lot of gangs that do all this looting, all this entering into shops, robbing, and killing. Even younger boys in the school. Almost every week, there's one being killed because they don't have peace. All they have is hatred. They don't see it in their homes, which is a divided home. What's the only hope of peace? It's the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ can give. Praise God that we have peace in our hearts through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that man on his own, listen to this, cannot know peace because man is alienated from his Creator. He's alienated from Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is our Creator. But we need not despair despite your isolation because of sin. True peace is actually available at any time if you only seek God with all your heart, soul, body, and strength through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all available from God our Father, who is the God of peace in Romans 15:33. And from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Prince of Peace, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It is a gift that was, it's a gift of God that was so expensive to pay in our behalf. It is the very precious blood of the innocent victim of our crimes and our sin, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, let's pray that the God of grace will continue to make us realize that we need this peace and live it and share it to those who are alienated, to those who are broken families. We should not testify no other things but to share immediately and quickly about the problem of the heart which isolates man from its other. But only by God's grace, through faith alone, by grace alone, through Christ alone, through the Scriptures alone, and to the glory of God alone, that we can find peace with our Lord Jesus Christ. As any human being, any sinner, realize that he is a sinner that needs to be washed, that needs to be born again. Actually, the New Testament clearly teaches the inseparable link between God's grace and peace. That this praise in verse 2, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Is a paramount need of the church today to be preached in our community. Because without, by just learning from it, by just putting that in our minds, will not actually change the world. It is by continually being faithful that this grace and peace, by the abundant grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and preaching the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that these greetings actually became popular in the time of Paul, because particularly those that were affected in the preaching of the Apostle Paul, of the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The faithful Christians in Ephesus, the faithful Christians in Laodicea, and all the churches that Paul has actually planted in his three missionary journeys. This is the preaching of the Apostle Paul. In fact, he said, "Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel, the resurrection, the death and suffering, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Woe is me if I don't preach this gospel." So it's not just a choice. It is a paramount importance that the church must preach this to the neighborhood, to any man that we encounter along the way. Thank God that we are praying for this as a church. Mm-hmm. As the recipients of His grace, we have peace with God, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We are reconciled to Him through faith in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and we will never experience His wrath. So those who are despairing for peace, and the wrath of God is facing you day by day, this is your chance. This is your time. This is the chance that those confusion and internal turmoil that divides your mind in confusion and never experience peace, the only way of peace is the peace that Christ can give you as a result of confessing your sin to Him and accept that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We also have peace with God according to Philippians 4:7. The Holy Spirit's way of assuring us that God is in control even in the midst of difficult circumstances. That's why Paul calls it the peace that surpasses all understanding in Philippians 4:7 that has been mentioned. And so the world organization, United Nations, is actually trying their best to plant peace in the warring, among the warring nations. But the world peace as we know it is actually relative and fleeting, because it is grounded on circumstances. If you give what I like, then I'll give you peace. But if you don't, you will threaten to obliterate you, to destroy you. This is what's happening now in the world. That's why it's a fleeting peace. But only God's peace is absolute and eternal, because it is grounded on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the question that we need to ask ourselves, does God's peace reign in our hearts? If anyone sitting here also is, does your heart knows this peace in the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, tonight is a challenge for you to consider this peace that is only found in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or have you allowed, on the other hand, the problem of sin or difficult circumstances that diminish our devotion to Christ? Well, the problem with not experiencing the peace of Christ is the problem of sin. Any unconfessed sin can be detrimental to this peace. That's why we need to confess our sin to our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God that we have a regular basis of Lord's Supper in our congregation, because that gives us not just remembrance, as we remember the sacrifice of these soldiers that God has raised up, but the great sacrifice that we also should remember is open to all. That in our Lord's communion, the Lord's table, peace is awaiting us. Peace is actually a challenge to continue to remember that this great sacrifice has been paid for us, so that we will have this continuous peace and joy, transforming lives and lives that are confident that we can overcome all the difficulties of our trials and sorrows in life. Remember, we will never escape any day without difficulties and trials. That's why we need this peace. As a result of confessing that need to be forgiven of our sin on a daily basis, so that this peace will not only make us joyful, but others will investigate what is the peace that I see in this man, in this woman, in this lady, in this child. It's only because the peace that passeth all understanding, that's available to anyone who believe and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The work of God's grace will never be perfect, I confess before you today, that until the Lord Jesus Christ coming in our lifetime or in the lifetime to come, that this work of grace in our personal life to live a faithful life and witness of this grace that wherein we stand. We may not be perfectly living it, but God will adequately make us stand to fulfill His plan and purpose, to be a useful vessel in His kingdom until the day of His appearance. But we may always be confident that God will perform His good work in every soul, not only the Christian, but in every soul wherein He has really begun His good works, by the big word regeneration or being born again. Though we must not trust in outward appearances, nor in anything but a new creation that is evolving in the new life of a person, of a believer. The fellow workers or fellow sufferers of Paul in Philippians are all aware of their need to be faithful. And yet, if we are faithful and we are not faithful at this moment, it's not too late. We can ask by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and His mercy to continue to pray for one another and to encourage one another when we see our fellow saints in the church struggling, wanting to have a good listening ear to how they live day by day. It's so easy to say that we pray for you, but it's actually a different ballgame when we pray for one another and minister to one another's needs. Thank God that we have peace with our Lord Jesus Christ in faith and grace. Let us ask the Holy Spirit tonight to reveal anything that might be hindering God's peace from ruling in our individual hearts. Let's be prepared to respond in confession and repentance. Ask for opportunities to demonstrate God's peace to others. In other words, we are not only enjoying it ourselves, but share it to those who need peace, who need the Lord Jesus Christ, through His precious blood to be washed on you, so that they will be experiencing this peace. You cannot just say the Lord loves you and want to give you peace. We must explain how we did it in our lives. And of course, they will see it in our persistence. In the seriousness of our new life in Christ, they will see it. So, how does God's peace affect a believer's heart and mind? Well, let's open in the end, Philippians chapter 4. Could you open it with me, Philippians chapter 4, after the book of Ephesians. This next book is Philippians. We'll close it this way. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. That's the suggestion of the Apostle Paul to every saint. We must carry our anxiousness in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, so that our requests should be made known to God. If we struggle with this in our own strength, we cannot do it. But prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, so that the promised peace is our portion. Amen. We'll sing our last hymn, our redemption hymn.
No, it's not redemption, it's Christian hymns.
Oh, yeah.
Christian
hymns. Yeah. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There's no shadow of turning with thee.
Thy faithfulness.
Marty, would you kindly close us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we do thank thee for thy word. We pray, Lord, that we would be faithful. We thank thee, Lord, for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, which has washed us from our sins. We pray we would not grow weary of well doing, that we would constantly look to thee for help, but we would be anxious for nothing, Lord, but in all things, trusting in thee. So if there are any here, Lord, we pray that they might even tonight cast their burdens upon thee, knowing that he loves us.
Yes, Lord.
He cares for us. He will take our concern,
yes,
and
Lord.
He will take care of it for us.
Yes, Lord.
In
yes.
Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. Thank you, Sister Lorna, for joining us.
Thank you, Pastor Annie.
Yes.
So someone will call you tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
God bless you.
Bye.
Goodbye. Well, we're going to. We're going to. We're going to break bread. Have you got time to stay breaking bread? Would you like to? Good. Well, we won't take long. So I'm aware that people will want to get away. David, do you want to watch? We're just going to break bread together, but would you like to just, you can either leave or you can watch us doing it if you want, whatever you like. Okay. Could we have 701, please? In Redemption Hymnal. 701 in Redemption Hymnal.